strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Kingdom culture versus council culture. Kingdom culture versus council culture is the title of my talk this morning. Many people have argued that the trending council culture is a form of free speech, and that the culture promotes accountability and gives disenfranchised people a voice. But like many people, I am disturbed by the so-called council culture. Has anybody heard of council culture? Maybe our younger people and the slightly older people. Council culture, you've heard about that? Okay. I think our younger, sort of old, slightly older teenagers, maybe they should be in actually for this. Ellen, do you mind? Is it okay to bring in the Revelation group? Is that okay? Yes, actually, yes. Thank you. Because I think they probably will get what I'm saying, and I think it would be a good idea for some of us slightly older people to have a chat with them after the service about what I'm talking about. I have the privilege, because of the nature of my job, to get to meet some of these people in their bases, in their schools, and chatting to them. If you're unfamiliar with the term council culture, this is what it refers to. It refers to a trending culture in our society in which those who are deemed to have acted or spoken in an unacceptable manner are ostracized, boycotted, or shunned. So they are effectively cancelled. Hi, young people. Abby, you there? Where are you? I think I saw you just entering. Okay, Tammy, you know what cancel culture is, don't you? Yeah. You know what cancel culture is. I'll go over my definition. So for those who might be unfamiliar with that term, it's simply a trend in our society in which those who are deemed to have acted or spoken in an unacceptable manner are ostracized, boycotted, or shunned. So they are effectively cancelled. So, say you as an older man with an impeccable good life, you've had a great career, you are an outstanding member of the society, maybe you are sort of like my brother Folarin's age, then you make a mistake, you said something politically incorrect. Or maybe you are like a 30-year-old person, for the sake of argument, we'll say maybe someone like, let me make a guess, I don't want to offend anyone. Maybe someone like Dolly, just, you know, there. Loved by everyone, and then you share an opinion, maybe with a friend, 15 years ago. And it so happened that the view you shared all those years ago is now contrary to the mainstream position on issues. Whatever mainstream might mean, because it seems it's always shifting. And that conversation between you is, the conversation gets discovered, and that's it. Everyone is calling for your head. Do you get what I'm talking about now? They're protesting in front of your office, Dolly. They're asking your employers to sack you. If you're a high-profile person with managing agents, maybe like Richard, That agency gets bombarded with angry phone calls the next day, wondering why the agency hasn't dropped you yet. The cancel culture army will even try to scare off your friends and your acquaintances, recruiting some of them to turn against you. Do you get what I'm talking about now? You've seen a lot of people being vilified in the press, If you don't know what I'm talking about, then I think this message is particularly for you. In this current climate, there seems to be no room for building up. The mob's strength seems to be reserved for tearing down. Empathy and forgiveness have been thrown out of the window. Hypocrisy and self-righteousness seems to be the order of the day. This is rather sad because this trending toxic culture is very much unlike the culture that prevails in God's kingdom. And for those of you slightly younger children, I think the part of the reason why I want you to listen to this message and understand is in a few years, if that is not the case now, you will face this reality where you will say something or you share an opinion, either or ignorance, and then people will gang up or might gang up against you for those views. Or it may be you tempted to join others in ganging up against the offender. Listen again to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Can we have that on the screen, please? The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. If you've gone through what I'm talking about, or you face it in the future, this is one of those promises of God that I recommend that you turn to. The Lord God is with you. The mighty warrior is more than able to guard and protect you from those bullies. He will take great delight in you. Even if or when you've got things wrong, the Lord will not join the party to continually rebuke you. He will rejoice over you with singing. This verse reveals the depth of God's love for us, even though God might rebuke us for our wrongs. Unlike the cancel culture army, God doesn't rebuke us forever. He doesn't cancel us, as the current trend does. On his face of mercy away from us when we turn back to him. Rather, God is a loving father who rejoices over his children. God takes delight in us, and his love for us is unconditional. No matter what we've done or where we've been, God's love and grace are always available to us. God does not cancel us as the trending culture does. So if you've really messed up as an older person, as a younger person, it does not matter, because we are all humans, and part of what our humanity dictates is that from time to time we will get things wrong. Society is moving at a very fast pace. You will say something that is politically incorrect. You will utter a statement that the world is moved on from. And not out of malice, maybe sometimes out of malice. Whatever the case, you will get certain things wrong. And that is just the reality. And the goal is not to bury your head in the, forever and cover yourself in your duvet, for a month because you've messed up. You can turn to God for mercy. And my hope is that those of us who are Christ-minded, we will have a forgiving spirit, building up when people I've messed up. Not joining or, you know, joining the gang of persecuting them forever, as our culture now does. God is a Lord in whom we find forgiveness, love, and restoration, no matter what the depths of our errors, troubles, or wrongdoings are. We can trust in God's promises of forgiveness and restoration. And bearing that in mind, Apostle Paul writes in Galatians that we too, as children of God, need to subscribe to a life of forgiveness, love, and restoration. These are hallmarks of the Christian life: a forgiving spirit, a loving spirit, a restorative spirit. Not a canceling spirit. Yes, that person was having a bad day and something slipped. He said something that he shouldn't have said, and that's it. I'm never going to talk to him again. Or worse still, recruiting others never to talk to him or her again. That is not the Christian approach. We are a forgiving people. We are a loving people. We are a restoring people. We don't belong to the canceling culture. Slide 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, and in case you're looking around for those he's talking about, Paul is talking about you and I. You who live by the Spirit, you who are Christians, should restore that person gently. Is that in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? And watch yourself while you're doing it, Mr. Perfect. Watch yourself, because it may be this guy today, but it might be you tomorrow. Because you also may be tempted, or you also might mess up. Carry each other's burden, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And if any of you think they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. If you think you are perfect, beware. Pride is, you know, that is the root of pride. Our duty as Christians is to restore, not to join the condemning or the canceling party. When someone amongst us falls into sin or they face difficulties, even if it's through their stupidity, because it may be our justification was, that was just common sense. Oh, hasn't he been listening to the news? People don't say that again. That's old school. Yeah. Our first response should always be that of compassion, empathy, not judgment. We call to gently help people to find their way back to God. And then when they are in a better place, then you can begin to now explain to them, you know, this is the way to say it, or this is the way of the, you know, this is the way things are done now. We call to bear one another's burden as Christ bore our own sins on the cross. We are called to help carry the burdens of our brothers and sisters. And that is should be intergenerational. The truth is this. Even with the best of intentions, across generation, things, you know, some things will be lost in translation. Or across genders, or across, you know, socioeconomic, you know, gaps, there'll be certain things. Rather than condemning because someone is not exposed to something, or they're just not inclined that way, let's default position be to restore, to educate. You could buy someone a book and say, you know, I think you should read this book. Do you get what I'm talking about? And this includes race relations as well.
what I'm talking about.
Paul warns us against pride and self-righteousness. To effectively bear one another's burden, we must first examine our own hearts. When we think too highly of ourselves or become judgmental, we are acting as hypocrites who fail in our duty to be true to God, to be true to ourselves, and to be true to others. As we reflect on this message this morning, let us remember that our faith is not a solitary endeavor. We are a part of a community of believers who are called to restore, bear one another's burden, and support each other. In doing so, we live out the law of Christ, the law of love. So please, please, and please, let us stay clear of the cancel culture of our times. Instead, shall we continually examine our hearts, humbly acknowledging our own need for grace and our responsibility to care for one another. Let us embrace the kingdom culture, the forgiving, loving, empathetic culture. It is my prayer that we will be a community that exemplifies this love of Christ by acting struggling and bearing one another's burden. For in this we truly fulfill our calling as followers of Christ. Amen.